Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast, as we're finally in that weird portion of the regular season where we're at the close, and you have some people kind of cleaning up shop, and all the other ones are sort of skirting out, ready to hit home, and then the other ones are ready to do the real business behind the scenes. So we got a little bit of cleanup that we have to do here, but I think me and my co-hosts are ready up and up to the task. I am Andrew Reich. I am joined by my co-host Adam Murray. Adam, are you ready for our big project as we talk about a semi-summary of the regular season? Since it's not over, we got about maybe like five or six games for most teams, but it feels like it's over for the most part.
Oh, it's closing time. They flicked on the lights. Semisonic. Last round, everybody. Come on. Yeah, we have what? Everybody in the West has been chosen.
Well, when you say chosen, you mean like all eight playoff seeds have been sealed. Yeah, the East, no teams can sneak in. Yeah,
you know who cares about the East? Who cares about the East eight seed? But it was a long, disjointed. It was just a weird season where everything tried to take you away, and it was very hard to get into with all the outside drama, I think.
Yeah, well, like you were kind of saying, is that in the Western Conference, all eight playoff teams that were in the running or in contention have clinched. The one team that was sort of kind of the outlier that seemed like they were trying to sneak their way in was Sacramento, but they sort of hit a little bit of a lull, losing six of their last 10, including one where they had like wasn't there this really wild game against the Nets where they were up 25 points and blew the lead, and D'Angelo Russell hit a game winner.
Yep.
Something in that nature, but you know, that was just kind of lent to it. Great season for Sacramento. I mean, that was a lottery team, a god awful team last year, and they were knocking on the door for the playoffs for a good portion of the regular season. So kudos to them, but just not close enough this year. So they're out. The one thing that is interesting about the West is outside of like 1, 2, and 3, I would suppose, because I do feel like Houston will have home court in their first round matchup. I don't think they're going to slip too much further after that, is that the arrangement between the 4 seed and the 8 seed, I think there's a little bit of volatility. Is that the word to use?
There's a lot of, well, at least unlike last year where it was, you know, one team's going to get left out. Everybody's in. Surprisingly, the Clippers are in.
The Clippers are firmly in. I mean, obviously they've clinched, but like, they're actually legitimate. Like, that's a team that you might not want to play because, you know, it's not that you know, this version of the Clippers hasn't made the playoffs because, you know, you had the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin one, but and this version's different. But this team is so fresh that you don't really know what you're going to get when you play them.
So, okay, let's just talk about the West for now. Let's go through a few teams. What went right? What went wrong? Let's start with the Clippers. How the hell did they get this? They traded away their best player. They gutted their team, and all of a sudden now they're better.
Okay, well, if we're looking at the macro sense of how things went right for the Clippers, the first two things I would hit on is that they got very good return at the end of the day on the Chris Paul trade and the Blake Griffin trade. I think that even with Tobias Harris being traded midseason, like, they got decent return on that one, because you could help me out with some of the other guys that they got back, but Landry Shamet was one of them. Who's another the guy that they got shipped to LA in the Tobias Harris deal?
I don't really.
Wilson Chandler was part of it.
Wilson Chandler, but he's not, you know, he's not a focal point of the team.
But Shamit's been the surprise. The other thing is that Montrezl Harrell was a suitable replacement for DeAndre Jordan, to the point that they were able to just, you know, like, replace him without any issue when he left in free agency. So it was almost like they were able to play the same sort of style as they were late last year when they were making a playoff push and they barely missed out. But instead of having, you know, DeAndre Jordan, who's a very one-dimensional, you know, rebounder slash shot blocker, now you've got, you know, Montrezl Harrell, who's got a little bit more offensive punch than people expected. Would you say the same?
Yeah, and Lou Williams the sixth man of the year as well. I think that the strange thing about the Clippers is this: they've never had a bench in Doc Rivers' career. All of a sudden, now they have a bench.
Yeah, they're one of the deepest teams in the league. And they got Garrett Temple. They even get Lou Williams is probably going to win sixth man of the year again. Like
Probably.
Jerome Robinson doesn't play much, but you got guys like Luke Mbamute. He was one of those weird guys where he started all the time because when they had CP3 and JJ Redick and Blake Griffin and they maxed out all their cash on their starters, they didn't have any money to like get a good wing. So they always would like fall back on like Wesley Johnson, and Luke Mbamute was one of those guys. Now Mbamute plays for the Clippers still, but he's more of like a pseudo reserve. The other thing that happened for the Clippers is that Danilo Gallinari had a career year and a healthy year.
Well, that's what it came down to. He had a healthy year. And
Yes.
the reason we couldn't think of people who were in the trade, it was Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala. And they shipped Muscala up to they shipped him off to the Lakers right afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think? But that's funny. We talk about Laker Clipper exchanges. What do you think of the Doc River rumors?
There's no point. It's just, I don't, there's, why would you go to something that's a worse situation?
Are you offended by the fact that we're talking about somebody's job, even though Luke Walton is yet to be fired?
Oh, Luke Walton was
Because
fired.
I've heard that one. Well, coaches have too much respect to talk about the Laker job if they already know Luke Walton's there.
He
But
was
give me a
fired
break.
months ago when Coach LeBron said, "I'm done with you."
I'm deep in my college weeds, but like I just saw this with Fred Hoiberg. Like Nebraska, I know this has nothing to do with the NBA. Well, it does slightly because Fred Hoiberg coached the Bulls, and now but he coached himself into oblivion. Nebraska had basically decided they were going to hire Fred Hoiberg like 5 months ago. They were just waiting for Tim Miles, their current coach, to slip. Once the season went downhill, they knew they wanted Hoiberg. So this idea of like, oh, you have to have respect, for the for Luke Walton in order to discuss it because you have to fire him first before. Give me a break. Like
Yeah,
there's
because
a lot of people angling for. Don't tell me Mike Budenholzer didn't circle that job back in April. When Joe Prunty was coaching the Bucks in the playoffs.
considering they fired Tyronn Lue just on a whim. Oh, 7 games in, oh, you're gone. Blatt gone. Coaches, no, there's no. Oh, well, that's the one job people. No. We have to be calm for him because. That their whole thing is just a dumpster
But
fire.
at the end of the day, they did extend Rivers. Turned out to be a good risk. Even though he doesn't have as much GM general, managerial power as
Well,
he
that was the
did,
thing. He was a terrible GM.
but as a coach, he's good. That was sort of his secret sauce in Boston is that that whole sense of togetherness and being able to coach defense. Maybe you can tell me better than I can right now because I haven't really dug into the numbers yet. Are the Clippers a solid offensive team or a solid defensive team in your eyes?
They're just a solid overall team.
One of those kind of like top 10-ish type of teams across the board.
They're
Because
just.
you know what I'm talking about. Like we had those Memphises like back in the grit and grind days where they're like excellent on defense, awful on offense. The Pacers under Frank Vogel were like that. And then you have the ones that are just really good offensively but terrible defensively. Now in today's NBA, that doesn't work because if they're everybody is good on offense now. Even the worst team in the NBA can score 100 plus points per game. You've got to have some decent defense.
And that was, I believe they beat the Celtics. I think they scored 145 or something on the Celtics.
Yeah, there are some scores.
It was, yeah. So the Clippers are just firing on all cylinders. And then let's just flip to their side of the same arena. The
Oh,
LeBrons.
the Los Angeles Lakers, not the LA Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers.
The.
Okay, first of all, like we were just hinting at with the Luke Walton stuff, what chance do you feel that Walton will be fired? Because Jeannie Buss did come out in support of Luke Walton, which almost seemed like kind of like a diffuser, a little bit of a small PR diffuser.
Well, yeah, because she's the one that hired him, and all of a sudden Magic Johnson
Rob Pelinka.
yeah, they come in like, well, we're gonna make this awesome team. Okay, we got, like we said, nobody who could actually play with LeBron. Everything he's not, you need from a teammate. None Rondo and
Lance Stephenson, and none of those guys could do any of it. And, well, what do you mean it didn't work? We're surprised. And then we publicly try to trade everybody on the roster. What do you mean they're all
to try to get Anthony Davis? Yeah, a morale killer. while LeBron James is sitting there at the All-Star, you know, getting ready for the All-Star game, you know, basically kind of, the Mr. Burns, doing the Mr. Burns, trying to get Davis.
And people forget, like, you know, because he's been out this year, but a real one of the main cogs to LeBron was J.R. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to sit in the corner, shoot threes. I'll dump it out to you. You know, don't forget, Kevin Love is also an All-Star, like a legitimate All-Star. Better than anybody on the Lakers roster. So for people to be like, oh, they're going to go to the finals. They're going to challenge the – what? With what? The rookies all regressed. Kuzma, oh, well, he can score, but his defense has gotten worse.
Yeah, he's got that weird hook shot that he goes to all the time. But he's like a – he's a very good scorer. And then, you know, Ingram with the – I don't want to speculate about the level of the kind of conditioning he has. It has something to do with the bloodstream. I don't know exactly what, like, or blood flow in his arm. Some people immediately heard that and said, oh, it's the Chris Bosh injury, which was blood clot in the lungs, which is a little different. But, you don't want to take too many risks, especially when it comes to, you know, NBA players after Reggie Lewis, you know. So there's just always that concern about players like that. So I understood why they shut down Ingram, then they shut down LeBron. But shutting down LeBron was almost inevitable. It was the word I'm trying to find is inevitable.
But either way, we weren't surprised by this. I don't know why everyone was shocked that LeBron, that the team.
Well,
was just
I thought they would be good. I thought the LeBron effect would rub to the point where they would probably be a good team. It just didn't happen that way. Now, and what happened is, I think LeBron already knew that even when he injured his groin and the team went downhill for the month he was out. I think he kind of knew that even when he returned and tried to make that push, that the team wasn't good enough. And when the opportunity was there to at least try to poach Davis. Because that's what it would have been at the end of the day if they made a midseason trade. It would have been a poaching. Then I think he got a little bit more excited about the season because he felt like that he had a safety valve. But when the Davis trade didn't happen, or when the Pelicans weren't interested in doing a Davis trade, that I think he gave up on the season.
Like, that's just bad GMing on his part.
It is. That's the bad part when the player and the coach or the player, it kind of runs the show, you know. And we see this a lot. There's a lot of situations like I'm starting to get that sense in Golden State where, you know, as much as no matter how many awards you give Bob Myers, I feel like there's this little sense of like, you know, Durant and Curry run the show in Golden State. And, you know, we can transition that to the top of the West, at least right now with Golden State, because they're tied. I don't know who owns the tiebreaker there. I would assume it's Golden State right now. But Denver and Golden State are tied at first in the West. But they are like – I think they're 10-8 since the All-Star break. What concerns do you see? I mean, is there anything with Cousins that may concern you?
No, Golden State is just completely disinterested. Like, we're waiting for the playoffs.
Yeah, but this has gotten to a point where you might actually give up home court. They did this last year with Houston. Like, I know they're probably thinking to themselves in the long run, well, we're not scared of Denver. We're not scared of Houston. We got this. But there is a point, because we saw this with the Lakers in the early 2000s when Shaq and Kobe were there. It gets to a point where you lazy up so badly that you
– Well, that was the – also
you suck. You sucker yourself into
Kevin
a bad
Garnett
position.
Celtics, and you know, that's – you know, oh, yeah, we'll save it for later. We'll save it for later. And – the way the first round is, you know, you're going to have Oklahoma City or San Antonio or Clippers.
Now San Antonio is hot. Like they hit a little bit of a lull, but I think they went on a stretch where they won 10 games in a row.
No, I will admit I'm surprised. I thought they'd be a lot worse off than they were.
I think the big key there is that LaMarcus Aldridge has just been terrific. I think that's pretty much
rejoined the program.
Yeah, like he had a 48-point game. I mean, listen, when Kawhi was out of the mix with the injury last year, and then when he was not on the team at all, you know, they had to rely on, you know, LMA. And when they did, like, that's when things started to turn a corner for Aldridge, because, you know, when he's the guy, kind of like when he was in Portland, when he's the man, You know, it's easier for guys to buy in. You know, I mean, we're going to probably see this in about a year with Kemba Walker. I don't know how good he's going to be if he departs. Because, like, maybe as much as I hate to say it, maybe Charlotte is the best situation for him.
Well, it's a situation, and, you know, the Charlotte runs through him. If he goes somewhere else, you have a different coach, a different style, and...
Yeah, and like I see small things. I mean, it's not like an epiphany, but, like, for example, Marc Gasol in Toronto. Like, you see these things where, you know, players are still really good. Marc Gasol played really well to start the season in Memphis. And then he goes to Toronto. You're trying to, like, figure out where you are on the team. And I understand that stuff. So there's obviously an adjustment period there. But then there's a point where it's like you change teams or you leave a team where you were so familiar with what you did. And then you go to another team and it almost seems like you lose your mojo. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, going from 40 minutes a game, being the centerpiece to, well, we need you to come off the bench certain days and give 25 minutes because we need to save you.
Now there's obviously no coincidence with, like, you know, age and how many seasons. Like, Marc Gasol's in his 30s. So, like, I can understand why he's sort of at the slowdown point with Toronto. He's actually played pretty well. The one thing I will say, since we're staying with the West, is that I know they're a tire fire at this point at 31-45, kind of tanking it throughout. But Jonas Valanciunas has played very, very well after being traded to the Grizzlies.
Has he, or has there just been nobody else to do anything on that team?
I don't know, man. He had one where he had 33 points and 15 rebounds. That's pretty good.
But that's the thing, is everybody on Memphis is already injured, or they're back to their 10-day lineup, you know, in and out every play, every game.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the one player from a winning team, okay, by default, he's the one that gets the shots.
I would just say this for Memphis. I would just keep an eye on them, like, in next year. Like, I don't, like, I almost get an LA Clipper vibe off of them. Like, I don't think they're as bad as people think they are. I'll just put it that way. You know, I know they gave up on the season. They wanted to trade Mike Conley, and maybe they'll try to shop him in the summer. But I'm not completely giving up on them. I am at that point, however, with New Orleans and Minnesota, if you want to just talk about those teams.
Well, New Orleans, we all know what happened. We don't need to go through them again. It's just sore subject for
Frank
you.
Frank Jackson, au contraire, not that bad. Just to give you the heads up.
And then we still free Sheik Diallo?
No, he's not. I don't want to say free Diallo. He's like he's getting some minutes, but, you know,
he's 17, 18 minutes a game.
Well, here's the thing, too. The shutdown, you know, when you hear that, the shutdown, it's almost like the government shutdown. The shutdown's like a virus, and now you're at a point where, like, everybody's got it. So, like, now the Pelicans have shut down Jrue Holiday. And, you know, we already talked about LeBron. I'm sure there's a few that I haven't even talked about. Like, Derrick Rose is done for Minnesota. I don't even know what's going on with Bradley Beal. Lauri Markkanen was shut down for, quote-unquote, they called it extreme fatigue. Now, they did say that it had something to do with what they thought may have been an irregular heartbeat, which is a scary thing, of course. But extreme fatigue, that's the first time I've ever heard that as a DNP.
Well, it's better than DNP old.
Or who's the one that got there was some player who got I think it was Lionel Simmons. He got what's that thing where your thumbs get all sore from playing too much Nintendo? Nintenitis.
Okay.
They claim that he missed a game because he got Nintenitis. This I think Brent Berry said that a long time ago, which always made me laugh. But we're getting away. But yeah, Minnesota.
What happened to them?
What happened to them is that they traded Jimmy Butler and
then fell pennies. Apart. Like...
They got pennies on the dollar. They got Robert Covington, who has been good. Dario Saric has not been bad for them.
He's sort of fallen off. He doesn't fit anything there, and just putting Okogie in.
The resurrection of Derrick Rose after the 50-point game, while productive, it sort of lulled them into this mindset of, oh, well, we need to rely on Rose because he's having one of his best seasons. So they kind of overused him, when he was sort of maxing out what he's capable of doing at this point in his career, to be completely – I mean, no disrespect to Derrick Rose. I mean, injuries really crippled him. But, I mean, he was probably playing better than he's actually capable of playing now. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It was kind of like – you remember when Bernard King played for the Washington Bullets in the early 90s? He made an all-star team. Like, he was still pretty good. But it was like, yeah, but like – why? Like,
why? He's playing, but nobody else.
You're trying to squeeze the juice out the orange, you know?
Nobody else on the Timberwolves seemed to have any heart in it this year. It's very.
And the only shame of it is that it was a good season for Rose, and it was almost semi-wasted. The one thing that really did show as we got to the latter end of the season for Minnesota, after they fired Tom Thibodeau, which was basically a give up on the entire philosophy of how that team was constructed. After the Butler trade too, was that Karl Anthony Towns just went ham in the last two or three months of the regular season. Like he was averaging like 29 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, he has been doing good, but if you watch him, like he should be bringing the ball up every time.
They need to go like old school Phil Jackson triangle Shaq with him, where they just give him the ball all the time. That's
they
how
really
I feel.
Do, and they just don't. I don't understand
Wiggins,
why.
Fuck Jeff Teague. Screw them all. Just I don't care how. I don't care if Andrew Wiggins makes $40 million a year, which is close to what he's making. Give the ball to Towns. That's all you have to do.
It's just a bizarre situation. All right, now let's move to the East.
Okay, in the East, we could talk about the Knicks. No, we're not. I will say this. Do you feel like – because, you know, Knicks fans need that hope. Do you feel confident – about the karma that some Knicks fans are starting to feel that they might win that lottery to get Zion Williamson?
I don't –
because they have the record in the NBA is why I'm saying that.
But it's been changed now. It's been watered down.
I mean we have months to talk about this, okay? But if they win Zion, what does that do for the Knicks?
Nothing really because they have 13 other people around who can't play.
Well, they got Dennis Smith and Frank Ntilikina.
Really, Keena hasn't done anything in 2 years.
He was part of the shutdown. He got the shutdown virus, Adam. I mean, the shutdown virus is real.
It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Cleveland, you know, the funny thing about – because we did talk about Tyronn Lue being fired. You know, with Larry Drew, he's been around the block. They're not that – like, they're bad, but they're not god-awful. Like, I've seen some games where Cleveland's actually been semi-competitive. I would give a little bit of credit to, you know, the development of Colin Sexton, Sidy Osman, and also Kevin Love coming back later in the year was a little bit of a small help for them. I mean, listen, they are 19-58. They're not exactly winning fans over, okay? But they're not, like, the worst team I've ever seen. Are you on board with that, or are they pretty bad?
Oh, yeah, they're not that bad if you have an all-star on your team, and they're just an expensive bad
and they didn't have Tristan Thompson for practically the whole season, to be fair.
And that's – you got injuries, unrealistic expectations, a stupid owner. You know, it's – nobody feels bad for them because, well, we're sick of Cleveland, but –
yeah, I mean, and it's hard to keep talking. I mean, there wasn't really a lot of sexiness about the Cavaliers. They were just off from the start. They fired Lou, and you just people were just kind of like already on board, like oh well, they don't matter anymore. You know, we know what happened. We know what went wrong with Chicago. I mean, we don't have to keep revisiting this over and over. They fired Hoiberg because he didn't fit what they wanted to do. Signing Jabari Parker was a disaster. The only thing that was good about it is that they were able to flip him for Otto Porter Jr., who actually has played well for them. But now you're locked into Otto Porter Jr.'s contract. And even though Zach LaVine was a very good scorer this year, it wasn't enough to suffice the contract that he got.
No, there was no reason for that contract, and it was just – you could tell it was just for trading fodder anyways. Okay, here's $20 million. Nobody gets a one-year $20 million deal.
Yeah, they got no play out of Denzel Valentine, who they really like. They traded Bobby Portis in that Washington deal. You know, Chris Dunn – I think Chris Dunn started out on the shelf with an injury, so they had to play Ryan Arcidiacono. And I will say this about Arch. He's like – he's actually a pretty good like sub type of bench player. He'd be one of those type of TJ McConnell types, another white-to-white comp. Are you proud of that one?
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, he shouldn't be starting games. You know, but they were – and then it got to a point where the team was so bad off with, you know, Jim Boylan coaching them that, like, I'm seeing rosters now where they're playing, like, Walt Lemon Jr. and Antonio Blakeney and I mean, Wayne Seldon. Like, people I haven't seen play all year long. It's just – it's a rough task.
People you forgot existed.
I mean, it was a rough year for Chicago. I mean, I ain't gonna lie about that. And you know, that's why I know people would be a little susceptible when they say, "Well, how can you say Cleveland didn't have the worst season ever? They have a worse record than the Bulls, and the Bulls are garbage." And you know, sometimes you know you can't. Sometimes it's not apples to apples. You know, like you know, Sacramento is 37-39, but that's a great year for Sacramento. Would you agree?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's different. Like, even Orlando, like, who, you know, we can stay with the West here. Like, they're in the hunt. They're one of those only teams that's still left. And we always talk about how right around February and March is when Orlando just completely falls apart. And they're, like, 10 to 20 games under 500 and their season's over despite spending money to try to improve the team and making draft picks that don't make sense. It does feel like, though, things are sort of coming into form under Steve Clifford.
Well, the problem is there's so many more worse teams than them. It's kind of hard to fall apart when you have so many bad teams below you already.
Well, not only that, they got a career year out of a contract year, you know, which is a career year and a contract year to me have always been kind of like they go hand in hand, is that Nikola Vucevic probably isn't coming back to Orlando. No. So, but they got a tremendous year out of him. I think he went to the All-Star game. Am I right or wrong?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great year. You know, Terrence Ross played well for them. You know, that was a surprise. And then, you know, Aaron Gordon. I don't even think they played Markelle Fultz, who they got in the trade with Philadelphia for Jonathan Simmons.
No, he's sitting out for the year.
The only downside was that they actually got good play out of Mo Bamba, their rookie, but he has a stress fracture, so he's out for the season. But they've gotten better production out of their team than I expected, because they go into their season all the time with unreasonable expectations, because they just want to believe all the time that the team that they put together could surprise, like, you know, like Portland always does and like Sacramento did this year. And usually with Orlando, it's like, no, this team is just not good enough, and you keep suckering yourself into bad deals. Well, this year is kind of the year where it seems like it's sort of slowly making the turn back towards positivity.
Finally, it has to happen at some point.
But where do you think the source of it came from other than Vucevic? It's not just him.
You have a competent coach. He got rid of, you know, finally. You know, he made Charlotte overachieve, and we've seen how bad they are.
Yeah, well, we'll get to them in a sec because they're in the state.
They don't have a point guard either. It's just bad roster management they're slowly trying to dig their way out of.
Yeah, I mean, don't they have to play Troy Copain too much? They have to pick up Michael Carter-Williams off the frickin' street. How sad is that?
That's a great rookie of the year pick.
Oh, man. Charlotte, you talked about, you know, you talked about how without Clifford, they're in trouble. I do think with James Borrego coaching, Charlotte has been much better offensively, you know, as a scoring team. And Kemba Walker has just been sensational this year. Like, if I could have made a case for him as an MVP candidate, you know, in a better situation, then I would have tried to make a case. I think, you know, we could talk about this as a side note, but I think it's really just coming down to Giannis versus James Harden. Would you agree?
Pretty much.
Like, I know there are a lot of other pretty good.
I said Giannis from day one.
Now, I don't want to discount, like, other really good candidates are out there. Like, Kawhi Leonard has had a great year. Kevin Durant's had a great year. Even Nikola Jokic I could try to make a case for. Yeah, Paul George. Paul George might win DPOY instead, Defensive Player of the Year. But, like, really, it's just coming down to Giannis because of his incredible his all-around game defensively and offensively. And then James Harden is just, like, he is the Wilt Chamberlain of guards. He's become the Will Chamberlain of guards.
Yeah, he has.
Pretty much. Like 50. Now he has like 58-point games. You know, I'm sitting in a freaking casino watching the NCAA tournament, and someone tells me that James Harden did 61 points in a game against the Spurs, of all teams.
Yep, he...
He also had zero assists.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he is who
he
is.
Oh, wait, no, one. I'm sorry, I take that back. One, he had one assist.
By accident.
But then he has those 50-point triple-doubles. Like, you know, he's had like maybe three of them so far this year. And so you see those and you're like, you know, well, those are hollow numbers. Well, how hollow are they? Because without James Harden, they're pretty freaking bad, you know. But yeah, just to finish up there with the MVP race, it's really come down to Antetokounmpo and Harden. But for Charlotte, I really could have tried to make a case for Kemba. Because the thing about Charlotte,
no, he's not even close to. He had a very good year. If they lose him, that team will be officially devastated and perhaps, you know, Cleveland style bad.
What did you think of the Jeremy Lamb game winner against Toronto? For those not initiated, in a close game against the Raptors in Toronto, there was almost a backcourt violation where there was like a deflection. Jeremy Lamb chases it down. Pascal Siakam is right on him, like maybe about just 5 feet away because it's a midcourt or past midcourt. Lamb launches it about 10 feet in the air at the buzzer, and it banks in, and Charlotte wins the game.
Yeah, everybody has, you know, everybody gets one.
Yeah, but you don't see half-court bankers to win games. Like, you don't even see that in college.
No, it's just one of those fluke shots that happen to go in. But, yeah, no, Charlotte is just I feel bad for them. They got no hope if Kemba leaves because there's nothing that could save them right now. But
the other problem is that he became so valuable to their push for the playoffs, which is likely to end in not getting in the playoffs, that they weren't going to trade him. And because his salary was so low, because I think Kemba's only on like an $11 million a year salary, they could have easily matched salaries with anybody to try to get some kind of return in a trade. But the problem is Kemba became so great that there was no way they were going to get proper return on any kind of trade. So they were stuck having to keep him and finishing the season out, you know, kind of like New Orleans with Anthony Davis until the season ends. And then there's a very good chance that as an unrestricted free agent, Kemba's just going to go somewhere else.
Yep, most likely.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Here's the strange case. Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's actually good. That's the problem.
But here's the thing. Look at their son. Look at the people, the teams they screwed over and the contracts they gave out. Those players didn't really turn out to be anything good. So how did they luck into this?
Okay, explain.
DeMarre Carroll.
No, they got,
from,
I believe.
Not
from,
him. I'm the one from Portland.
Hold on. Andrew Nicholson?
That's who they shipped off to Crabb.
He was one of those rare stretch provision guys, you know.
They gave Alan Crabb, you know, an offer sheet. Mm-hmm. Portland re-signed. They gave Tyler Johnson a huge offer sheet. Miami, you know, matched it. Both those players weren't really good.
You forgot about Otto Porter Jr.
Otto Porter Jr., well, that was Washington.
Yeah.
Why Washington did that. But it's just a strange case how this team, you know, just plays within themselves. All of a sudden they're doing good.
Well, it just seems like the roster, it was almost like a plan B type of roster where like all those guys were people that I don't think they originally had intended or zoned in on getting it. They were just beneficiaries of like some kind of a three-way trade because Brooklyn had the cap room to make it work. And they were bad, you know, because, I mean, Brooklyn was awful for like a few years, you know. And so,
Brooklyn was awful, but the people they targeted weren't really good players and didn't turn out to be good in retrospect.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were trying to get after – they were trying to make a big splash. It never happened. You know, another franchise that sort of like escaped disaster was we talked about this before, Sacramento. You know, like didn't they try to get Zach LaVine on that deal last year? In the summer, yeah. And then there was another – I believe there was another one that they were going after, and it didn't happen, but it turned out for the better. And that's sort of the same with Brooklyn. They didn't get those big free agents in the summer because they weren't a destination team. So they were, okay, well, we're going to have to get Joe Harris, and we're going to have to make a trade and get Jared Dudley. Maybe we can give some money to Ed Davis. And, you know, they were able to do things like that. The other thing is just, you know, D'Angelo Russell, they got in a trade. But Jared Allen was a very good draft pick. Rondae Hollis Jefferson is finally coming around. Like,
He's still slow to.
He is. He is. He might wind up not being on the team next year. But you know, Caris LeVert, good pick. You know, even a small second rounder like Theo Pinson wound up giving him good minutes. You know, they
and the two Euro kids are doing well. Sawa has been injured, but Kurek has been
Moose has been hurt, but Rodion Karuch has been good. So, you know, they've been getting a lot of like production out of like places that you wouldn't expect it. Getting some glue guys like Damari Carroll and Jared Dudley helped with the locker room. Spencer Dinwiddie has been – I mean, everyone already knew last year how good he could be. But now he's sort of blended in really well with like LeVert and Russell. And then Russell took the leap as an all-star. That was I think, the turning point for Brooklyn and why they're actually – in the playoffs now. They haven't clinched yet, but it looks like they're right on the cusp of doing it.
They're in the battle, but
they're one game over 500. But Orlando is only one game out, and Orlando is ninth, so that can
be Miami in between them.
One bad week, and it could very easily flip. You know, Miami, I don't really have much to say about the Heat because they're kind of in the same position that I always expected them to be in. You know, the moment Dwayne Wade said that was going to be his last season, number one, I knew he was sort of punting on the season, kind of like Dirk Nowitzki did with Dallas, where it was like, you know, if we're good, that's great, but if we're not, I can just have my victory, my farewell.
Well, the way the roster was constructed, there's not anybody good on that team to be like, who's going to put you over the top?
They have like, sneaky good athletes, like, you know, Derrick Jones Jr. has had some nice moments. Bam Adebayo, I think, is actually going to be a good player in the next couple of years.
Hey, I didn't see this big leap from him. You know, all their big, you know, their big money signings, you know,
they didn't pan out terribly well. Then they did the deal with Ryan Anderson, but maybe you can tell me better than I can, but I don't feel like they've gotten too much value out of Ryan Anderson.
No, they got that because his guarantee was less than Tyler Johnson's.
Correct. But what I'm saying is that they needed some 3-point shooting because, you know, they've never really valued it, and I don't feel like they've really used Rhino in any kind of way to be a gimmick player.
He doesn't offer anything anymore. He's the NBA passed him by too quick as well. He doesn't offer anything.
You know, it's the same roster that you've always heard about, you know, except for just that one change with bringing in Anderson instead of Tyler Johnson. But after that, like, I don't really have too much to, like, this is a team that I think is just inching for, like, a first-round destruction from, like, Milwaukee or Toronto or somebody like that.
Yeah, there's nothing to get excited about. Is there any other teams as we come to wrap up now?
Atlanta's good.
I'm telling you,
Atlanta is going to be good down the road. They're one good draft pick away. Like, say, they get RJ Barrett. Like, they're going to be good eventually.
No, they're not, because everybody else tanking with them.
You're just mad because you want Luka Doncic to win Rookie of the Year because that's your boy, and you don't want Trae Young to win it. That's all this is.
Because Trae Young's not going to.
America needs to get the Rookie of the Year award back. We had to give it to an Australian last year in Ben Simmons instead of Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell even tweeted out that he thinks Trae Young should be Rookie of the Year.
Because he had a game-winning, like, floater bank shot, whatever.
Against the Sixers, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Not due to
a
progressive season of work. It's just due to one game-winning shot.
Well, I'll say this. I thought they were going to be the worst team in the NBA, and the Knicks basically said, hold my beer. You know, so that's the one optimism that I do have about Atlanta. I don't really have anything to say about
them. Well, we'll see them in our Gone Fishing.
What about the Wizards? Do you have anything about them?
We'll see them in Gone Fishing.
Have they shut down Bradley Beal yet? Because I feel like Bradley Beal is almost on like a vision quest. He's like, man, John Wall's out. My team's terrible. I'm gonna get me mine. That's how I feel that Bradley Beal's doing right now.
I think they shut him down finally.
He scored 34 points at Utah on March 29th.
If not, they should.
He's had amazing numbers though. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, a steal and a half.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you could tell they just don't like each other, and all of a sudden, Wall's gone. He's a different player all of a sudden.
And, you know, it's kind of refreshing to talk about signing those small-level teams because, I mean, it feels like at the top of the East because that's where the intrigue obviously is. You know, no offense to Indiana, but without Oladipo, I just don't see it. Like, Milwaukee is pretty much loaded to the gills. Like, they're ready to go. Toronto – with Marcus Gasol now, that's pretty much the team. We already know about Philadelphia after they got Tobias Harris. This is it for Philadelphia.
Basically,
we're kind of at that point in the high school prom where they're kind of cleaning out and emptying out because we're at the end of the prom and all the people that have to get picked up by the parents are just kind of hanging around because they don't have anything else to do. And then like the real players are like going out to the big parties, and that's where the playoff teams are going. I feel like that with Milwaukee and Toronto and Philadelphia and even the Celtics. Like, I don't feel like the Celtics are really dialed into the regular season anymore.
No, but outside of the Celtics-Pacers matchup, all the first-round matchups on both sides of the coin just don't look like they're going to be any good.
I think Brooklyn can be somewhat competitive because of their shooting, but Detroit, no. Like, I know that Detroit's had some highs and some lows, and maybe they'll meet a higher seed team, you know, hitting a high note, and they'll win a playoff game or something, but I don't see it. I don't see it with the Detroit Pistons.
I don't know. I guess we will. We'll find out.
With the Western Conference, you know, maybe we'll probably focus our next episode more on the West because it's a little unclear from like 3 to 8 or 4 to 8.
Of well, once gonna we, happen. We'll get to our playoff episodes, and this was just what's going on.
Let me ask you this. Well, first of all, I do want to, because we talk about this and we're not going to be able to get to him. We always do WrestleMania. So I'm going to give you the WrestleMania card, and Adam Murray, who barely watches WrestleMania, will give me the winners because that's just who he thinks is going to win. Do you want me to give you all 17 matches or just give you like the top matches for the Place to Be fans?
It's the point. I don't even know anybody in there anymore.
Stop that. Don't say that. Okay. Let's just say, okay. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Just give me a winner. Actually, the two Weekend Update guys from Saturday Night Live are in there for some reason.
I couldn't even tell you who's in it.
Braun Strowman's in it.
Okay.
Okay. Kurt Angle in his last match will wrestle Baron Corbin.
You think they'd let Angle? No, Angle's been a dick to the WWF, so they.
Well, the rumor is that this will be a squash, and then John Cena will be his surprise opponent. That's the rumor.
All those rumors always fall apart.
Yeah, so Angle?
Sure.
Okay, The Miz versus Shane McMahon, who's now the bad guy, in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Well, obviously The Miz. Shane never wins.
Okay. Women's Tag Team Championship, Sasha Banks and Bayley versus the Natalya and Beth Phoenix versus Nia Jax and Tamina versus Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. I think we could skip this, huh? Do you know any of these names?
No.
Okay. just give me a winner. Do you think the champs will retain?
Sure.
Okay. Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio Jr. for the United States Championship.
Samoa Joe.
Okay. Good pick. Intercontinental Championship, Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor. I will say this. Bobby Lashley, he looks like he could play in the NBA. He looks like James Johnson.
Go Finn Balor.
No holds barred. Career on the line, Triple H versus Batista.
Oh, Triple H.
Triple H? You don't think Triple H will wrestle his last match?
Well, Batista, they're going to go – they rehired James Gunn to direct Guardians 3, so
– I heard about that, yeah.
Batista's movie's coming.
There's a meme out there because Batista did a promo where he wanted to have a match with Triple H, and he keeps screaming, "Give me what I want." And it's like it's gone viral. I feel like maybe they Disney finally gave Batista what he wanted. He wanted James Gunn, and he got what he wanted. I will say this for Batista as a movie star: the upward trajectory. Would you agree?
Well, he's in a new comedy coming out soon.
Yeah, with Kent John. They talked about that. He's also Skyfall, the one after that, Spectre, the James Bond movie. He was in the Blade Runner movie. Like he's doing okay for himself. Like when I see Dave Bautista's name on a marquee, I say to myself, that might be a big movie, you know?
He's moved on.
John Cena's done himself very well. I mean, I'm glad we're at that point where, you know, Cena, Bautista, even Brock Lesnar, who we'll talk about in a second, like they're at that point where they don't really need WWE to be famous, you know. Now Randy Orton, who's their contemporary, he's gonna wrestle AJ Styles. So who you got there?
I always take Orton.
Okay.
Even if he loses.
Roman Reigns, who just came back from a treatment for leukemia, he's going to wrestle Drew McIntyre.
Don't know him.
Okay. You don't know Roman Reigns?
I don't know Drew McIntyre.
Oh, you know Roman Reigns, right? Okay.
Yeah, but everybody hates him, I thought.
Yes, until he got leukemia, and now everyone's on his side. Like, you know, like how everybody hated Chris Bosh until he had the blood clots in his lungs? Now everybody feels sorry for him, kind of thing?
Fair enough.
Okay. Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. He's the champion. He's the bad guy, too. Versus Kofi Kingston from the New Day.
Didn't I thought he retired due to injuries.
He came back last year.
Then, I don't know, the bad guy.
Okay, so Daniel Bryan. This is, and then we're to the last two matches. Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar is the champion. He will wrestle Seth Rollins.
Rollins, I guess.
Oh, okay. He's actually the favorite of Vegas. Yes, there are WrestleMania odds. This is the main event. This is the one that most people have been looking forward to. Raw Women's Championship. Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair.
I'd go with Flair.
I mean, Becky Lynch is on fire. Like, everyone loves her. She's like the Stone Cold Steve
Austin. That's fine. The Undertaker comes down and beats them all.
So you got Charlotte?
Sure.
Not Ronda retaining, because the rumors are everywhere that she's going to take a break.
Yes.
Okay. Outside of that, what do you think of the NCAA tournament? And we could get out of here.
Unwatchable, like every year.
But Zion
didn't. Every year you get psyched up for it, then you just watch it, and it's just miss layup. No team knows how to run any plays on offense.
It's like we just talked about WrestleMania. It's not always about the quality. It's about the moments. Like, what did you think of the UCF-Duke game?
Well, that saved the tournament. If that wasn't there.
The Virginia-Purdue game was wild.
Nobody's talking about that game.
Why? It went to overtime, and they had a shot at the buzzer to tie it. That's amazing.
An overtime game. People only care about the first two rounds. They want the upsets.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Texas Tech's an upset. Woo, no, there are three.
That
seeds.
Was not
three
an upset. I'm gonna tell you right now, that was not an upset. So. I mean, I like Gonzaga, but Texas Tech was, like, legitimately good. Most of those teams that got to the second weekend were all legitimately good. Like, when Auburn beat Kentucky, I was not shocked. I was like, that is a very real thing that could happen.
Well, they are also terrible.
Man, you're just poo-pooing on college. Let me ask you this. Does it make you appreciate NBA basketball more? Like the disparity.
So
I get that. But like in general, like when you watch these games and you force yourself to watch these games because you know the tournament is such a big deal to people, and then you go back and you watch NBA basketball, does it make you appreciate those players more?
It's been a very disjointed season.
That's not an answer.
We'll be back for playoffs.
I hope we have more non-answers for you next time we are back, and I think we might be back next week, huh? Probably doing a playoff review.
We'll see.
Yeah, to be continued. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We'll see you later, guys.
Paid for by the following. Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceofBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceofBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceofBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop